off and I had to repent. How is it that if my life was so messed up and I was a slave to a man called Pharaoh and you took me out of bondage where they didn't beat me and make me work all day long and I had some peace and some satisfaction, how is it that I would turn away from you, God? I would not have done that. And then God began to show me, well, you did this and you did that and you did this and you did this. Oh, by the way, you didn't even have to do anything. It's what you didn't do. I called you and you didn't answer. Any witnesses in here? Y'all want a testimony time? Now we can testify, right? We can testify about that. So it tells us that what we need this checkup is time for a checkup. And today it's amazing. It's an amazing thing because this is for the Christians a period of having a checkup. As we go back and think about Calvary and what Jesus did, we have instituted a period of time called Lent, a time of repentance, 40 days before we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, He getting up. We have this period of prayer and confession and turning away from the things of the world. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a checkup, but it's also a setup. Why would you say it's a setup? We're supposed to do this. The Bible tells us to do that. Yes, we are. But don't you realize what the devil did? He know you are about to deny yourself all these things, but yet the day before, he makes it the biggest, outrageous, craziest, uncontrolled party that there's ever been. Mardi Gras. Yeah. And it ain't just in New Orleans or Biloxi. It's Mardi Gras in the mind. Everybody figure, I better do all I can do that I can't do for the next 40 days. Did anybody go eat something you knew you were about to get up on that day? You were about to give up? Oh, don't nobody confess that. Did anybody drink something on that day before Lent started that you knew you were giving up so for the next 40 days you couldn't have it? I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling the truth because somebody's saying, ouch. And it might even be me. Did anybody in here say, well, you know, I better do this now because tomorrow when I get my ashes or when I pray in my closet, then I ain't going to do this. I know I can't think about what I did yesterday, but all your mind is consumed with is what you have done yesterday. Now, there's nobody in here, right? Nobody in here. Nobody in here. I thank you for all being so wonderful and perfect and love Jesus so much that when he calls you, you hear his name. When he calls you, you answer. When he calls you, you don't do nothing but what thus saith the Lord. I thank you for being, but I'm just telling you about me. I ain't there yet. I'm trying to be there. I want to hear him. I know, but in the middle of the battle, I do know this. I passed the test. I called Jesus because that's the only one who can help me. That's the only one who can save me. That's the only one who can pick me up. So all I want you to know today is you know to call Jesus. Do you know to call Jesus? Hallelujah. Now we can do the checkup. Because we know the baseline is to call Jesus. So now we can do the checkup. So the question, first point today is, when was your last checkup? Uh-oh, you didn't think I was going to ask that, did you? When was your last checkup? Well, in order for us to understand that, next slide, Sister Bev, we need to know what a checkup is. A checkup is a thorough examination. Uh-oh, I didn't say it's an examination. I said it's a thorough examination. When I go talk to my doctor for my checkup once a quarter, he has a list of things he goes through. And can I tell you now that today, because of the state we're in, he don't even start with medical things. He starts with mental things. Have you been feeling depressed? No. Have you thought about hurting yourself? No. Have you felt periods that you just want to cry? No. Do you feel that things are hopeless? No. Okay, doc, we can move on. I told you no. But those are the first questions he said. Before it used to be, well, your blood pressure was good, or here's where your blood pressure is. He said, oh, I noticed you got on the scale and you were going to lose a couple more pounds, but you didn't. I can't wait to see him in two weeks. I'm excited because I'm 20 pounds lower than I was last time I saw. So I'm really excited to go see my checker. Because when I get in there, he's going to say, wow, look, what did you do? I said, oh, I just worked for a little while, doc. I'm doing all the right things. So y'all know we get excited about that, right? Thank you. We want the attaboy from the doctor. y'all don't have this problem. He tells me, you know, you in this category over here, and it's a little above where you want to be, because when you're this category, he says, you over here, and he uses that dreaded word. Begins with an O. Second letter, B. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't have to worry about that. I had to worry about listening to that word. But it says a thorough examination. And then it says an examination to see if something is in order. And then when we look at spiritual, it says fasting. Fasting is a spiritual checkup. Fasting reveals where we really are. Now, before we get out of the way, you don't have to fast several days at a time. You can have a morning to noon fast. You can have a noon to night fast. You can have an overnight fast. Fasting comes in various periods as God directs. But fasting is what? Giving up something that you eat or something that's important to you, what? To seek God. Not to seek a decision, not to seek. It's to seek God. But the enemy has planted some things in our mind. I'm fasting to see if I'm going to get this job. Wrong fast. I'm fasting to get closer to God. Why? Because if I'm closer to God, I trust he'll give me everything that I need, because that's who God is. So now I got to go through the synonyms, because I just want this word to make sure you understand what the checkup is. It's an audit. It's a check. It's an examination. It's a going over. It's an inspection. It's a look-see. I just want to have a look-see. My grandma said, just come here. I want to have a look-see. A look-see, what's that? That's an examination. That's a checkup. We know what? It's a review. It's a scan. Nowadays, they can scan your body and see so many things, you ain't got to tell them nothing. You want to order a new pair of shoes and you want a nice, expensive pair of shoes? They'll tell you, come here, we'll take a scan of your foot and we'll give you the exact pair that there won't be anything in lack of support. It's a scan. It's a scan. It's a scrutiny. It's a survey. It's a view. It's the side eye. Any of y'all ever had the side eye? Come on, somebody know what the side eye is. You looking at me sideways. I don't trust you. I'm doing a checkup. What did you just say to me? I'm doing a checkup. It's called a side eye. We walk down the streets, we get side eyes. You walk into somebody's house and you don't take off your shoes, you get a side eye. I'm just telling you, am I talking to somebody in here? Are we being real? Amen. Sister Roger and I, she said, I want them to take off their shoes. And I was like, okay, that's not how I was raised, but whatever you want, baby, I'm okay with it. But then we had somebody going to come to the house that was older. And before they got there, because I knew if they walked in and didn't take off their shoes, she was going to do the side eye. And I said, baby, they coming. They not taking off their shoes. I don't want you to do the side eye, okay? She said, all right, I'll be good. I'll be good. But that was just what we want, because she was prideful. She wanted the carpet to last. That's all it was. But if somebody came in and didn't take off their shoes, we didn't throw nobody out. That's just the way it was. So what? It's an analysis. It's an assessment. Assessment is scrutinization, observation, exploration. It's a probe. It's a test. The checkup is a test to see just what has your love. It's an appraisal. It's a once-over going. It's an overhaul. Yes, when you go through a checkup, the end result is an overhaul. Something's got to change. I would love to say to you today that when you get your checkup, it's going to come out perfect. But then I'd be lying to you. Because the Bible says what? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes. Now, the beautiful part is that Jesus paid the price, so that's what we're judged by and not what we do. Oh, somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, that my sins don't determine who I am. Thank you, Lord, that my shortcomings don't determine my outcome. Thank you, Lord, that you filled the gap. You gave me my joy, my hope, my peace, and my strength. Thank you, Lord God. Somebody ought to be excited about that, because you know already you ain't done it all. So if you don't get excited for you, I'm excited for me and for you. Next slide. When was your last checkup? First of all, that raises the question, why should we get a checkup? Well, you don't have to. Look at what the word said. In 1 Chronicles 22 and 19, he says what? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that what? Is to be built in the name of the God. That was instructions that we're supposed to do. So there's got to be a checkup to see what? If God is first in your life, if this is the place and the temple that God wants it to be. Now we know from Old Testament to New, our temples are what? Our bodies. You don't have to stop there. Go to Colossians 3:1-2 says, if ye be been what? Risen with Christ. In other words, if you believe in Jesus Christ, seek those things, what? Which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, set the things that you love, what? Above, not on things of earth. That's what the book of Colossians said. You don't have to stop there. Go, I'm just giving you some scriptures that you can go to that tell you that your checkup needs to show that Jesus is first. You can go to the next, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. Why would he direct your hearts? Because where your heart is, that's where your joy is. Where your heart is, that's where the things that you want to do are. So he says, set your heart. Yeah. Sunday school today, I said what? If you're going to be my disciple, you got to hate your family. Not hate them viciously, but yeah, you got to put them behind God. You got to put them behind God. Mother, father, sister, brother. How many times do marriages not work and relationships not work? Because I never get rid of mama. I never get rid of daddy. I never get rid of sister and brother. I never get rid of my cousin. I never get rid of nobody so I can focus on my family that God has given me. We do the same thing with God. God, you all right, but if mama call, I'm gone. Let me put it in perspective. I was born on my mama's birthday, right? When mama left here, birthdays weren't the same. Wrong. They got to be the same. They got to be loving. They got to be full of joy. I can't forsake because mama gone, and now I can't receive the love from my family and the love from my friends because mama gone. I got to be depressed because mama gone. No, that ain't of God. That was of me, but it wasn't of God. Why? I got to seek God first. Next thing it said, Matthew 6:33, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All these things will be at. So there's more than a few that you can go to. You can go to Malachi. I'm sorry, after man, he said first, we need, next slide, thank you. We need what? Salvation, healing, peace, direction. You saw what's first, right? You saw what's first on that, right? Salvation. We don't need healing first. We don't need peace first. We don't need direct. We need salvation first. Once we have salvation, we have what? Jesus Christ. Once we have Jesus Christ, we got peace, we got joy, we got healing, we got the fruits of the Spirit, we got the power of the Holy Ghost that we can pray and we can do what? And watch things happen. Did not you hear? There was healing, there was provision, there's peace. Next one said, but there's a problem here. There's a problem. Next, thank you, Sister Beverly. Because of our instability, which is a tendency to be what? To have unpredictable behavior or erratic changes of, Any of us have mood swings in here? Brothers, we got them too, okay? Don't you dare for a minute say, no, I'm all stable. No, we go up and down just like the yo-yo. Okay? And if you don't believe me, ask that our wives tell us, I want you to do something different. Just like Adam did. Just like Eve did. Sin draws us to what? Mood swings. When we not heed the word of God, we're involved with mood swings. We're happy. But then something happens to make us sad. We're happy, then something happens to what? Put fear in our life. Can I tell you, for a brief moment when I dropped to the floor and I couldn't walk to the bathroom and I had to get down on my knees and I'm down on all fours, I'm like, okay, God, I can get up. And then I couldn't get up and I fell further on the floor that I'm just laying on the floor and I can't move. Then all of a sudden it hit me. I just got to call Jesus. Now, can I confess my fault? There used to be a period in my time that I would voluntarily just go in my room and get flat out on the floor before before God because I was seeking God with such a passion. I didn't want anything. And the best way I knew was to get flat on the floor, prostrate. God, just have your way. But what I came to realize that because I didn't do it voluntarily on my own, the devil said, now I'm going to put you there so you ain't even going to think about who's there when you get there. But the truth that I know, that no matter where I am, whenever I get to whatever situation, when I get to the lowest of the lowest, I know Jesus is there. If I get to the highest of the highest, I know Jesus is there, so nothing can stop me. That's because somewhere someone shared the word with me. And I believe the word is true. So he couldn't stop me when he knocked me down. And when I get up, he can't stop me because Jesus put me up. So that's all we need to know. No matter what's going on, we know Jesus. So why do we need to get a checkup? Well, last thing is God told us to do it. God told us to get a checkup. God told us that we ought to be evaluated. God told us that we ought to take inventory. Next point number two is, so what happens during our checkup? What happens during our checkup? Next slide, Sister Barbara. So you know what a checkup is, right? We just went through all these things, but I want you to think about it. It's a thorough examination. Fasting is a spiritual checkup. It means that, guess what? I want to find out, Lord, I want you to reveal what's in my life that's not like you. What's in my life that I'm not doing? Sister Susie talked about her testimony. She was going through a spiritual checkup. She was like, Lord, I read in your word that said we ought to have long life. And I listened to her and I kept listening. So eventually she got to the checkup part where it says, I must not be doing some of the things that I should be doing. Or some people would not have these thoughts that what? They can't make it. Because if we're on our job and doing the things we want to, should be doing, somebody's going to tell somebody whether we make them comfortable, whether we make them unhappy, whether we make them feel like they're great, or whether we make them feel like there's something missing, we gonna tell them about Jesus. So when they get to those situations, when they're faced with those battles, they'll call on the name of Jesus. Now, there's just something about the attack of the enemy. Sometimes they don't make it, but that doesn't mean they lost. If they know Jesus before that, it means they won. They just get there a little bit faster. I don't believe in suicide. I don't want that for nobody. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. When my niece committed suicide, it's hard to explain. First thing my son said, but she was winning. She loved Jesus. She taught the children. She had been victorious. She had brain surgery, and the seizures stopped. She was winning. But for a fleeting moment. But guess what? She still won. I'm going to see her again. So what happens during our checkup? Well, let me tell you what Ezra said. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Thank you, thank you. Ezra in 3:21 said, then I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava that we might what? Afflict ourselves before God. We might bow down and go before God to what? Seek of him a right way for us, a right way for our little ones and all of our stuff. We needed to seek God to know what to do. So in a checkup, you're going to find out what to do. Anybody struggling with what to do? Thank you, my sister. You said you prayed last summer. You prayed, Lord, what to do? And then God sent you an answer to your prayer. Now, he didn't send a time frame for an answer, but he sent an answer. You know that one day it's going to be used for what God's going to use it for. But you were willing to say, hey, it's available. Somebody would have said, it ain't available. This is my land. Y'all know our story, right? Folks don't speak, right? We start planting a little food out there, now folks speak. We plant some more stuff out there, we give it away, now folks will stop. And guess what? We can pray with them. And when we pray with them, guess what? God keeps on blessing. Can I tell you, this week, we just got another partial grant. We got some benches we can sit on while we work in the garden. That's just what God should say. They cut our budget in half, y'all. We don't have all we had last year, so we can't do enough. But guess what? We're going to give Destiny some of that. And guess what? Destiny got some of it. Yeah. It ain't because we so good or so great, but what we're doing what thus said the Lord said. The Lord said, I will provide. Yeah. So I thank you. Now, we got to do our part, right? So he said what? Go to that. He said, well, he said we had to fast. to deny oneself, humble oneself before God, seeking his direction, wisdom, and healing. Fasting is essentially what? Giving up a food or something else for a period of time in order to focus our thoughts on God. We get the first part. We get the first part. I will fast. But we tend to fast for what we want. Fasting is about what God wants. And so that brings us to point number three, the dangers of not following the process of our checkup. And that's where we're here in this book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter. We find that when we get here, we get here, God has already laid them out and given them all the bad news in chapters 1 through 39. And then 40, he starts to change and starts to give them some good news. But every now and then, as they were going to the better way of living, every now and then, as they were receiving more and more of God's blessing and more of God's abundance and more of God's provisions, all of a sudden, when they started to turn away, y'all know when we get a little something, something, we turn away from where we used to be. When we don't have nothing, we call on God. When we get some, I can do it by myself. When we don't have nothing, oh, Lord, would you please deliver me? But when we get something, Lord, I don't need you to tell me what to do with my money. I know how to manage my money. I got financial advisors. I got friends and everybody else. Lord, I've been doing all right. I got a big bank account. Oh, God, I understand that because I exercise and work out every day and I'm skinny and lean and I got everything I need. I don't need you, Lord, to tell me how to go through things. But one of the things that God keeps showing me, you can be in the best shape that you want to be, but if you can't handle the stress, your body will break down no matter how big or small you are. If you can't be living at peace, your body will just fall all to pieces no matter what you do. I got friends that work out every single day. They are ripped. They can be on Men's Magazine showing they six-pack. Some got an eight-pack. They done put it in somewhere, but I come to tell you, they under so much stress that they can't handle anything. But I'm coming to tell you, if you know Jesus, you can be big, large, fat, stress-free, fat-free. It don't matter, because when you know Jesus, then everything's going to be all right. I come to tell you, I know what my numbers are, and it's only because of Jesus. It's not that I'm so wonderful, not that I work out every day. I try to do my part, but my checkup says I know Jesus. Your checkup says you know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, he'll make everything all right. Babies will be declared dead, but guess what? Yet they live. I don't know about you. How can one man say, look, I fell off a four-story. I was declared dead. They covered me up. My mama uncovered me, prayed for me, and yet I live. Now my first baby being born, you tell me, it's stillborn in my belly's womb. And is she going to have to care for another month before we could deliver my baby? I said, no, not yet. My baby is alive. Why? Because I believe in Jesus. Jesus. He'll make a way to find a place for a brother. Jesus, he'll make a way to what? We can help somebody. Jesus, what? He'll make a way to what? We ain't got to hold on to everything we got. We'll give it to somebody, and we don't need to be recognized. Just do whatever thus saith the Lord. Jesus, what? When you're going through pain and it's hurting so bad and nobody knows and you don't want to tell nobody, you just lying there and you can't move, then all of a sudden, I'm not by myself. The other folks will be going through all kind of stuff. They hurt every day. They stumble every day. But guess what? They still believe in Jesus, and Jesus is enough. He said, look at this. Look at this. So here we see the dangers of not. He says, shout it aloud. You don't want to hear this doing your checkup. You don't want to hear the doctor say, do not hold back. I'm going to raise my voice. I don't want to hear my doctor raise his voice at me. I don't want to hear my doctor use the obese word. He's a little bitty man, but he knows how to get my attention. My doctor said to me, hey, now you're going to be a pastor. You need to direct your people to move more. Oh, you're going to be a pastor. You need to direct your people that what? They need to eat better. You a leader now. You can't be silent no more. You got to lead the way. You got to show. That's what my doctor said to me during my checkup. You got to be responsible for the others. You can't stay like your. In other words, he said, you can't keep in this obese category because then you ain't leading your people like you. That's what this little man said to me. And you want to know something? God said, I told him to tell you that. And look at where we are now. Healthy eating, giving away healthy food, trying to eat healthier ourselves. We're trying to do better, trying to take some walks around the neighborhood, trying to take some walks around home, trying to do the kind of thing. And I tell my doctor, he said, that's what I'm talking about. So the checker, but look at what he said here. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the descendants of Jacob their sin. He said, you need to know in your checkup, in your fasting and your praying, you are eager to say to me, oh God, I'm fasting. Oh God, I'm covered in sackcloth and ashes. Oh God, I've forsaken all the wonderful things that I have. But God said, that's not what's really going on, because you showing me that. But what you really doing is you hating your brother, you hating your sister, you keeping your slaves that should have been set free, but the minute you set them free to fulfill the law, you reach back and grab them and bring them into bondage. He said, you can't come through a checkup like that. That ain't gonna work with me. It'll work with your neighbors. It'll work with the folks who were slaves to you, because guess what? They just happy to be alive. You give them a slave mentality, they'll stay a slave mentality. But he said, that's not what I told you to do. So I told you to set them free. And once they're set free, I didn't tell you to go get them back. That's what we have to stop doing. When we're fasting, we fast and pray, and we're excited when somebody accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, and we're all lovey-dovey and huggy-huggy when they come in. But then the minute they get around here and try to do something, well, you can't do that, and you can't do that, and no, you ain't been here long enough, and all of a sudden we just put them back down to where they used to be in our actions. He said, but he made it plain here. They asked me, why, oh God, do we not see you? Why, Father God, when we fasted and prayed, do we not feel your presence? Why, oh God, are things not happening? He said, wait a minute. He said, the reason they're not happening is because the way you're fasting is not right. The way you're living is not right. People run around, we want all kind of power. How many of you would love to have the power to heal? You just know, hey, I'd be out there every day. Whoever's sick, come to me. I'll just lay my hands on, pray for you, and you be healed. I mean, go ahead. It's okay to say it. I would love to have that. But guess what? You do. But as we learned in Sunday school the other day, it comes with a cost. That cost is denying yourself. The folks who operate in healing and you see the evidence of the healing, that's because it ain't about them. I got a friend that he started healing and he first worked on the dog. His mother saw the gift in him. She saw the gift in him, but she needed to know that he was going to operate no matter what it was. They dog got sick. She said, son, go in there and lay your hands and pray over the dog. And he didn't say, well, why the dog? I want a human. He went in there and prayed over the dog, and the dog got up, and he said, thank you, Jesus. And he's been healing ever since, writing books on healing, and he's serious. He's serious. In the name of Jesus, he'll anoint you and pray for you, and people get healed. He don't play. He ain't looking for no money. He ain't looking for no fame. Nobody's running around, oh, go see him. He's just walking. When God speaks, he does. When God speaks, he does it. When God speaks, now if you walk up to him because you done hurt and you trying to fail, the first thing he do is ask God, are they ready in their spirit? Amen. And if they ain't ready in their spirit, he won't pray for them. Not a prayer of healing. He said, because my prayer of healing ain't going to do nothing if you don't believe it. So I ain't playing with God like that. God, and guess what? The only way he knows if they're ready or not, because he asked God. Yeah. Not that, well, I think I know everything. He asks you a question, and then you show. Some of us don't believe. You know, I remember when I was a young boy where I went to church. I was a teenager, actually. I wasn't a young boy. The pastor said, I only want to know one thing. Do you love Jesus? That's all he wanted to know. He didn't want to talk about speaking in tongues, any of that. Do you know Jesus? He said, because there are going to come times in your life that the only thing you can say is Jesus. And one time in his life, he went to get something to eat, and he shouldn't have been at this place, but he went to this place to get some chicken, and he was 300-something pounds. He shouldn't have been getting the chicken, and a man walked up to him and put a gun in his head. Told him to get in the car. Put a .38 in his nose, said, get in the car. And God told him, don't get in the car. He said, I heard Jesus clearly. I did not get in the car. I told the man, you're just going to have to shoot me because Jesus told me not to get in the car. I ain't getting in the car. Do what you're going to do. And the man dropped the gun and ran. But he knew that he knew Jesus. And there's been a few times in my life, all I could do was call Jesus. You don't see me, this big man of man that I am. I'm lying in the floor and can't move. We know to dial 911. We know to hit the button. We know to cry out loud. We know to do all that stuff. And I'm coming to tell you, even the fall alert would not have worked because I did not fall over. So it would not have registered. Press the button. I couldn't move to press the button. I didn't fall. I got down on my knees because God was drawing me to him. Just come before me. This is your checkup. Who you gonna call? It ain't Ghostbusters. It ain't 911. It ain't your BFF. It ain't your husband or your wife. It's Jesus. He said, look at this. Your fasting does what? He explained it. He didn't make it plain. He said, I'm just not gonna do it. He said, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. You know what we see today? We're all fasting for Lent, and yet we're all in quarrel and strife. Yet we want God to bless our country. We want God to bless my brother. But my brother in that party or in that party, I ain't asking God to bless them. I'm asking you to move God to do what I want to be done. We're asking things of the world and not of God. I'm not concerned which party wins. I'm concerned with salvation. I'm not concerned with who tells this lie or that lie. I'm concerned with the truth. For the truth is what sets us free. But yet, we can't come together. There are organizations right now that used to pray. Now they're not even praying together. They've eliminated prayer from the equation because we pray differently. He said, but no, the dangers of losing in this checkup, the dangers of what will happen. We don't follow the process. Next slide, Sister Beverly. It says what? Here's the results. The things that do not happen as we expect them to. We expect great things, right? But they don't happen. We pray, but nothing happens. When you're praying and nothing happens, that's because we need a checkup. We need a checkup. I think it's next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide, Smith. When we what do not see the power of God moving, when you're running around and we're going in houses of worship and we're praying to God and we're lifting up praise to God, but nothing is happening in that place. Something's not going on. Something's not happening because God is about the healing, the deliverance, and the provisions of God. Somebody, if you need something, God's going to provide it. If you got a medical issue, God's going to heal. If you're going through when you done lost a loved one, somebody's going to come to your aid. When you just don't know what to do and you are confused, you ain't got to ask. Somebody's going to come to your assistance. That's what we see. You say what? We continue to what? Make the wrong decisions. Why? We're making them on our own. Yeah, I know those of us who are older say that's what the young folks do, right? But guess what? Some of us have been making the same decisions for the wrong decision for a long time. Here's another thing, second thing it said, the world does not see Christ in his glory. I'm old school, I will admit it, but I'm just of the school of Jesus. God didn't make no weak Christians. That ain't of God. My God is strong and he's mighty and defeated every day. When they thought about my God, they trembled and they run. But you know something? It was something about what happened in the Old Testament that still happens today. The enemy knew when we weren't doing what we were supposed to. The enemy knew when we got a bad checkup. They would wait and attack when they knew you weren't calling on your God. Somebody hear me now. The enemy would wait and attack the children of Israel when they knew they were not walking in power. You can't tell me that I know you're the child, you're the God of Israel, and I better leave you alone because you done hurt me before, that they would go and attack somebody who they knew would hurt them. But they watched the people. And when the people were distracted, oh, we can get their stuff now. Don't you know that's how the enemy watches us today? He waits till we're weak. He waits till a situation has us off our game. He waits till we've forgotten to pray. He waits till we forgot to live in love. We wait when we forgot to what? Share with one another. So we live these unvictorious lives and we have no impact on the things around us. I come to tell you today, every single one of us in this place ought to get up and know that we have an impact on everything around us. But then I don't want to leave you there. I want to leave you on the good news, Point four is the signs of a good checkup. And I'm not going to get through all these today. I know you're ready to go, but it says, it is not this kind of fasting that I have chosen. God said, I didn't choose this kind of fasting where you were going around with one another. He said, I chose a type of fasting to loose the chains of injustice. I chose a kind of fasting that would untie the cords of the yoke. I chose a type of fasting to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to break every chain, to break every bond. I chose what? A type of fasting that would set you free. Yeah. And once you're free, you will be what? Free indeed. Next slide, Sister Beverly. So here's the results of a good checkup, and I'm just going to run things that God's promised. The results, God promises a special place in Malachi 3:6. They said, then they that feared the Lord, what? Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written, what? Before him that what? That feared the Lord and that thought upon it. Do you know that your name is in the Lamb's book of life because of Jesus the Christ? It's got your name. We look for obituaries. We look for news articles, but I come to tell you, the only book that's important to me is the book of life, and when Jesus opens the book, my name is written in it. There's going to be Freddie Lee Rogers Jr., signed, sealed by Jesus the Christ's blood. Oh, I say, thank you, Lord God. It's written. That's a promise. He treats us as his children. What? Psalms 103:1-13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He loves you. He chastises you, but he brings you. You know the words that we're heirs with God. We're heirs with God. He sees, hears, and protects us. If you go to the book of Psalms 34, he says what? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open until their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them. Look, the eyes of the Lord see you. His face goes against your enemy. And you know nobody can look on the face of God. You're going to die, right? So God says already, I've defeated your enemy. I got you covered. The righteous cry, what? The Lord hear. When I said Jesus, he heard me. When I said Jesus, God went to work. He's sitting at the right. He said, my Father, look at here. My Father, he's calling my name. Oh, God, now you need to go for it, and you need to cover him, Lord God. Take the hurt away. Take the pain away. Give him strength. Take right the sweat from his brow. There'll be no more sweat when I get there. Say, wipe it from his brow. And as Jesus said to the Father, cover him, I heard the cry of Jesus when he prayed. He said, Father, I'm not only praying for these, but I'm praying for those to come. They have made it, Lord God. They believe in me. They believe that you sent me. And because of that, Father God, cover them. And he covered me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to the Lamb. He said what? He initiated a call to action, and there's got to be a call to action. Man, that's where we missed. If you go home and read the second chapter of the book of Acts, he said there were some things that had to take place, and we talk about the day of Pentecost, and that's wonderful. We talk about the anointing of the Spirit, but that's wonderful. But if you get down to verse 37 to 40, he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, everyone, what? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's where we're missing the boat. We don't want to invite nobody to love Jesus. We don't want to have nobody accept Jesus. Well, I can't do that. That's not the socially acceptable thing to do. You're right, it's not socially acceptable, but it's what thus saith the Lord, and that's where salvation comes into play. And I ain't in this to get along. I ain't in this to be socially acceptable. I'm not in it to be the next person just to be there to say that I was there. I'm in it to win souls for Christ. Because somebody was in it to help me save my soul by accepting Jesus. I'm in it for the same reason. So today we got to initiate a call to action. And then he said, we are rewarded for seeking him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Said what? We got when results of a good checkup, relief from our burdens and our revival in Isaiah 58. That's what this chapter is about. He wants to relieve us from the burdens of not being successful. He wants to revive our spirit so that we would know that we know that we know. You don't understand it? That's what Daniel said. You will gain wisdom. What? Daniel 10. Daniel fasted and prayed so what? He can gain the wisdom of God. Not just to say, I'm Daniel and I'm somebody. He needed more wisdom on what to do. We get God's ongoing protection. And when King Ahab was going crazy, and Elijah says what? In 1 Kings 21:27, said, and it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth. He was trying to fast too. He didn't understand it, but he knew what? He couldn't mess with the God of Israelite. He knew that he couldn't mess with God. And then he declared, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before, I will not bring what? The evil in those days. God said, because Ahab has understood who I am, I'm going to let Ahab live until his day. But as for his son, I'm going to get his son. That's God speaking on our behalf. Don't you know, let somebody mess with you. God's got it. You ain't need no gun. You ain't need to pack no heat. You ain't need to shoot nobody and live with that terrible misery the rest of your life. Oh, it seems fine, mighty fine. I see the people in my neighborhood. We got a gun place in our neighborhood now, and they just pack it. They just there all the time, young and old. I said, none of them, unless you've been in the army, know the cost of having shot somebody, to having taken a life. But as for me, I choose to trust Jesus. And then we anticipate Christ's return. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away. So today, you know it's time for a checkup, right? How many of you are fasting? How many of you decided to fast for Lent? You don't have to tell me. We'll do it for some period. We will fast for those who want to join us for the 30 days prior to Easter. 30 days, we're going to fast. And in those 30 days, I'm not asking you to stand on how strong it is because of what you gave up. I'm asking you just to seek to be closer to God. Oh, if you seek to be closer to God, I want you to feel God rub your brow. I want you to feel yourself in the arms of Jesus. I want you to feel that when you're weak, you can feel Jesus propping you up. When your knee is giving out, you can feel, ooh, I can stand because God's got it. I can walk because God got it. Y'all don't understand. Every Sunday I get up here and my knees be hurting a little bit and y'all see me hobbling. But when it's time for the word of God, I can walk right. I can walk in victory and I can preach in victory and I can run if I got to run because God undergirds me and he gives me strength. I never understood it other than it's just God. And when I'm done and over, I go back to hobbling a little bit. But that's all right because when I need to do what God wants me to do, he gives us all the strength to do whatever. He gives you the words. He gives you to understand. You didn't even study that word, but he gave you that word. That's the God that we serve. Did you get your checkup? Have you asked God for your checkup? It's a call to action today.